We bow humbly before you, thankful for the gifts that you've given us, the abilities, the dreams, the chances to live them out. But we acknowledge before you, God, that apart from your Spirit, we can do nothing. We wouldn't have life in the first place. And God, we certainly can't do the great things that you have in mind for us and through us apart from your Spirit. Even right now as we gather and we want to do this simple thing, it seems so simple, to hear your word, we can't do that, oh God, unless you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and give us ears to hear. So God, grant me, Lord, the voice, the words to speak, but even more than that, grant each of us the heart to hear, the minds to hear what you want to say, that your transforming word might have your way with us, and then through us, God, to your glory in the world. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know that I've ever experienced a season like this one as we're entering into it, Christmas, heading toward Christmas. This past week, more than I can ever remember hearing from people, I've heard from people saying they're struggling. You know, that Christmas is supposed to be this happy time, and it just doesn't feel like that to a lot of people. I think some of it is Pastor John's fault. She preached this wonderful sermon last week about how important it is for us to come to this summit, you know, to ponder like Mary and to take time to be still with God and to bring our thoughts and our feelings and all that we are to God and let God help us sift through that and sort through it and get some direction and in life in the midst of that. And so some of you expressed frustration. And then how are you supposed to do that when here at Advent, Christmas time, life seems like it's getting busier than ever. You know, how do we do that? Others have shared with me that they're really bothered by the materialism of this season. It's supposed to be this strong spiritual time. And if you're anything like me, I find these emails coming to me from Amazon and any number of other places. You can save only thousands of dollars. And I'm like, I don't need anything. But I don't know, maybe I should click on it because, you know, I might actually need that thing and I might be able to save a lot of money by going. It's really hard to say no to all this stuff. Some of you have shared with me how hard this season is because of grief. You know, some here have lost loved ones just in recent days. I can't imagine the acute sense of loss that you're experiencing right now. And some I've spoken to even in Fika yesterday. You know, we're having this time of celebration, remembering our heritage, and some of that brings back memories of loved ones and how they were there singing by their side or eating the cookies or whatever it is, and they're not here anymore. And, you know, it's not surprising at all, and yet it's always a bit surprising when that grief wells up and can even seem overwhelming. Some of you have shared with me how this season when, you know, everybody's supposed to be happy and always has been supposed to be happy, how this is a season when you remember back to your childhood and, you know, that was supposed to be happy too and it wasn't all that happy, especially at Christmas time for some. It was a time when a person's poverty became more evident than ever because other people are getting good gifts, giving great things, and you're seeing it on TV. It's supposed to be like this, but it's not like that. And if your parents wrestled with that and they were ashamed by that, it might even be that they acted out of that shame as opposed to out of their love, and things got even more difficult. Abusive parents became more abusive. People who drank alcohol and struggled with that drank more alcohol. Happy time? You know, to some degree, this season can actually, for all of the happiness we're supposed to be feeling, bring to the forefront that life is not all that we think it should be. You know, that our expectations, it's supposed to be this way, and life goes that way. How can that be? You know, that you've had these dreams and those dreams aren't coming true? What do you do with that at Christmas or any time of the year? Because life can be so frustrating, so disappointing. And certainly today, as we look at Joseph, the father of Jesus, we get a picture of somebody who has some plans for life, expectations, the way things are supposed to go. And guess what? They didn't go anywhere close to the way he thought they were going to go, did they? But maybe this morning, as we look at Joseph, Matthew chapter 1, we can get a glimpse of how we could handle the fact that life, the expectations we have for life can be so disappointed that sometimes we've got to let go of what we were sure should be and deal with reality, trusting God. And open to the possibility that, like for Joseph, God may have something up his sleeve that you had not dreamed of yourself. That God may have something more for you. So I invite you right now to listen to the gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 1, beginning verse 18. This is Matthew's version of the birth story, telling it more from Joseph's side than from Mary's side, as Luke does. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. So what can we learn from Joseph, this man for whom life didn't quite turn out? Life in a very major way didn't go the way he expected. Well, first thing we learn about Joseph is he's a righteous man. And we've talked about this in the past year in the Old Testament, in the Psalms. It speaks of the righteous person and it speaks of the wicked. The righteous person, one commentator puts it this way, is the person who's made this decisive orientation of their life toward God. You know, God is the decisive orientation of his or her life. Joseph has made that choice, that decision. And I'd invite you this morning, in the midst of the chaos and the challenges of life, to make that decisive orientation in your life. Maybe you've done that. I invite you today to remake that, recommit to that. You know, I think of it like being out in the woods with a compass. You get up in the morning, you want to figure out which way to go, you got to be still for a moment and let the compass find north. It's only once you've allowed that compass to get set, "Be still, know I'm God, be still, know which way north is," then you can begin to discern which way to go. You got to make God the decisive orientation. Before you even allow your feet to hit the ground when you get out in the morning, "God, I give this day to you. God, help you. May you be the true north for me. May I follow your path." You know, most of you, if you've been around very long, know I'm a dog lover. One of my dogs, Toby, I always think of him. He had made me, and then, of course, when Donna came along, it wasn't me anymore, it was Donna, but made me the decisive orientation of his life as the pack leader. So we'd go out for a walk, and I could let him off leash because I knew he's always paying attention to where I am. He might go a little bit ahead sniffing, but He was always paying attention to where I was, because if I started going this way or if I turned around and started going back, he would be there. He'd be coming the direction I'm going. He wanted to be with me. And I think about how that is for us with God. We've got to make God the pack leader of our lives. Where is God moving? I want to move with God where God's going. In the midst of the challenges, the changes of our world, what's God up to? Where is God moving? You know God is with us. So what's God doing in the midst of this challenging season for you or for our nation or for our world? God's here. You know that. God is a God who fulfills his promises, which Joseph teaches us. So where's God moving? I want to be with God as God moves. So I'm going to be looking for God in the midst of what's going on here. I'm going to be listening for his voice, for his leading, which is the second thing we see in Joseph here. He is a person who listens to God and keeps on listening. You know, we need to do that. We talked about this Wednesday night at our Christmas quiet service. It was a wonderful time. It was a chance for us to be still for a bit and to listen for God. And I shared with those who were there how when I pray, when I read the scriptures, I very frequently have my hands open like this. I try to get my body into a receptive position. So it's not just that I'm, okay, God, what do you have? It's God, what do you have for me? Help me to hear your word. You know, we can do that with our whole body to listen for God's word. I think of Solomon. You know, that prayer, you might remember, God asked him, what can I do for you, you know, as you become king here? And he doesn't ask for wealth or power. Solomon asks for, as we've often translated it, wisdom. But actually in the Hebrew, what it says is he asks for the gift of a listening heart. He says to God, how am I supposed to lead this great people of yours? I can't do it on my own. I need a listening heart. God, grant me the gift of a listening heart. And God gives him that. And as long as Solomon keeps listening, if you know the story of Solomon, he does incredibly well. He's incredibly wise. He makes incredibly good decisions. But as his life goes on, he stops listening. And whenever you see this in the scriptures or in our own lives, you know when you stop listening for God's voice, things start to go awry. It's a sad thing to see in the story of Solomon. It's a sad thing to see in our own lives. And if that's happening for you, if it's happened, today's a great day to say, okay, I'm going to make you the decisive orientation of my life. God, grant me ears to hear. Help me to listen, to practice that every day. We do this in our relationships. If you practice listening to your spouse, you'll get better at it. If you practice listening to your friends, you'll get better at it. If you practice listening to your parents, by the way, you'll get better at it. And if you practice listening to God, you'll get better at it. You know, it may well be that Joseph would not have heard the voice of that angel that night if he wasn't already this righteous person who was practicing listening. But if we practice listening, you'll be amazed at how much God speaks. I'd invite you to practice listening with your hands open like that. And then the wonderful thing we see in Joseph is he not only listens to God, but he makes plans as he listens and he takes action. It's clear in the scriptures that the righteous person is a person of action. They make plans. Joseph does this, doesn't he? He plans to get married, and oh, the things aren't going well, so I'm going to have to make other plans. And so he starts to make other plans, but he's listening as he goes. And God speaks to him, and so now he goes back to the other plan, and it's a little different than what he'd expected in the first place. He ventures forward with his hands still open, his plans still there, his ears still open as God guides him. And I think of Luke Korthus. I'm so delighted to have him come on. But one of the things I'm going to remember from our interviews with him, I think it'll always stick with me, is hearing him talk about his love for being with people, with students, but how he also loves to make plans. He likes to see where we're going in the year ahead, so he'll plan out the year, which is really a great thing. But then he holds those plans with an open hand. He holds them loosely, trusting that, you know, life, things happen, and as we go forward, God continues to speak, and he wants to be open to being redirected as he goes. Now, this is part of what it means for us to really believe Emmanuel, that God is with us, that he's this good shepherd who's actually good at shepherding. Can you believe that God actually knows how to lead us? That he's given you what you need to know to make that next decision, to move forward with your life? We're called to be people of action who make plans and move forward boldly, trusting that God is with us, that he's directing us, and that if we start going the wrong way, he can redirect us as long as we keep on listening, as long as we keep our expectations and our plans with open hands before him. We can trust him to be with us. We can trust this God who fulfills his promises for us and through us. And so we venture forward. I think of that wonderful pair of verses in Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9. And I've often thought of them separately. You know, verse 8 is, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall listen to it day and night, so that you may be careful to act according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. The very next verse, sometimes I've thought about separately from the other one, but it actually flows from it. As long as you're listening, here's what God says to you. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so you venture forward with courage, with boldness. You make decisions. You don't take life passively. You don't wait for God to do the skywriting thing in the sky. You say, God, you've given me what I need to know to venture forward. I'm going to take a risk. I might fail. I might succeed. But who knows? Because you take a stump, a tree that's been cut down, and you bring out from the stump of Jesse new life. You take from the person who died on the cross, and you bring out new life. And so I'm going to venture forward, trusting that you're guiding me and that you can continue to guide me, that you can direct me and you can redirect me, that you can work through what looks to me like complete failure and bring out a success I could never have dreamed of. I mean, isn't that what happens to Joseph? His world is upside down. This woman that he loved seems like she's just gone off the deep end. How can good come out of this? Well, I'll tell you how. Because God is a God who fulfills his promises. And because God is with us, you can bank on that. You can trust on that. And you can venture forward with courage based on that. God is with you. God is with us. So may we venture forward with God as our decisive orientation, with our ears listening as we go, making plans and moving forward, taking action, trusting that God is with us every step of the way. You know, as we come to this table this morning, I'm especially mindful of that. What a gift God gives us to come and remember the grace of God. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we gather here around your table, we are mindful, we remember that you are a God who fulfills your promises. You could not have made it any clearer that you love us. Could not have made it any clearer that you can take what seems like the end and turn it into a new beginning. That you are a God who can do abundantly far more than all we could ever know, ever ask for, ever imagine. And so, God, we come to your table again this morning and pray for your forgiveness, for holding on so tightly to our own expectations. And grant us the grace to release all those things to you now. To let go, Lord God, even of our lives, and give them to you this morning. And to open ourselves up to receive your forgiveness, your grace, your Spirit, your leading. For we long, like Joseph, to actually not just live the life we dreamed of, but to live the life you dream of for us. And to be a part of you fulfilling your purpose, not just for us, but God, through us in this world. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.